we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad it's Friday. I'm looking forward to this day off a whole lot. Hi, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida, and you're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. And let me be the first to invite you. This is a personal invitation from me to have you come and celebrate with us our church's 64th anniversary this coming Sunday, just 2 days away from now. And we are going to be reminiscing about some of the things that God has done in the past, but also we're just going to be in worshiping the Lord and challenging the saints to be able to achieve even more by His Holy Spirit through the coming years. And so that's coming up this Sunday. Sunday school's at 9:30, worship services at 10:30. And then we have our grow group Sunday night. We are also going to be taking a missions offering for our youth and children's minister family. The whole family is going on a missions trip, and they're going to be leaving us next week for a couple of months as they go to minister to orphans in Guatemala. So we're going to be trying to be a blessing to them. Can you imagine six people going on two different missions trips and that lasting for 2 months? And so we're going to be praying for them and blessing them and look forward to their return. We miss them already and they're not even gone. So that's coming up this week, and we hope that you will avail yourself of that opportunity. I want to take today to just say thank you to Teresi Auto Sales and Repair over on Clear Lake Road, 632-9777. They're just a couple of blocks south of Dixon. They're on Clear Lake. They are on the west side of the road, just north of a little church that sits there. And so let me tell you, Joe has been a big blessing to us, and him and his son Michael and their team of mechanics. They have become an integral part of the Arthurs household, and I commend them to you a great deal. We have some wonderful fellowship, and we hit a stretch of time where virtually every vehicle we own has run into some issues, and so they've seen my face a lot. And so, and actually, I was in there one day not too long ago. I think I was dropping off a vehicle or there to pick up some paperwork or something, and there was a person that I knew. He was in there, and he said, "Hey, Pastor Bob, I've been listening to you on the radio." And so we recommend Teresi Auto Sales and Repair. Whether it's purchasing a car or getting a car repaired, they will take good care of you. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. It's not one of these car lots that's going to have hundreds of cars there. They've got a number of vehicles there that are for sale. And they will take good care of you. Tell them you heard about them here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. So back to Isaiah chapter 11 today. Beginning in verse number 1, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So in talking a little bit more about this, the nature of the Spirit that rested upon Jesus, again, this is a messianic prophecy, but we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and so the same type of Spirit that rested upon him should rest upon us. It said the Holy Spirit came upon him, and we need that as well, and is our promise such in the book of Acts. But it says the Spirit of counsel and might. We talked about those yesterday. Today it talks about the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So there are two more dynamics of the Spirit that rested upon Jesus that we need to analyze. One of them is the Spirit of knowledge. You know, you have to be careful when it comes to just how transparent you are going to be. There are some people who cannot handle your transparency. Okay? If they see the realities of your life and things that you struggle with, sometimes it will be a stumbling block. And I've mentioned our youth and children's couple. They had us over for dinner earlier this week, and I had told them that I'm trying to lose weight. They told me what the menu is going to be, and I said, you know, I'm really trying to lose weight. And then they told me what the menu was, and they said, but we don't want to cause you to stumble, and so instead of that, we'll be more than happy to fix you a veggie burger, and I'll make some cabbage for you, and instead of your favorite dessert, we'll just give you the fruit. And I said, you know, I've been overweight for a while, not massively overweight, but, you know, I'm just looking to get in better shape is what it is. And they said, but we don't want to cause our brother to stumble. And I said, you know, if a person throws themselves on the ground willingly, you didn't cause them to stumble. And so I want to tell you about making sure that when you are being very real or transparent with somebody, make sure that they can handle that transparency. I will tell you this as well. It took me a long time to learn this, and that is this. Just because someone asks you a question does not mean that they are entitled to an answer. That doesn't mean that you have anything to hide. It just means, just because they're curious doesn't mean that it is in their best interest or your best interest for them to know that. The spirit of knowledge is also not to be used as a weapon. There are people who will take things that they know about other people, and they will use that as a weapon against them to try and intimidate them, to prevent them from acting the way that they're supposed to, or being intimidated into being manipulated by the person that now knows this. In legal terms, that would be known as blackmail. There would be people saying, oh, no, I'm not trying to blackmail somebody. But they will take it. If you reveal something to them, they may take it and run with it, and you have just become a trending topic in their world of gossip. So what is the spirit of knowledge? The spirit of knowledge is of such that it should make us want to seek God more. If I know of a need that you have in your life, I'm not supposed to be going and blabbing all over town about that need. I'm supposed to have that knowledge and come to God and say, God, I want to know how to respond to this. So the spirit of knowledge is not to make a person stumble. The spirit of knowledge is not to use it as a weapon against somebody else. The spirit of knowledge is to help us to seek the face of God and know him better. Knowing God is not just knowing about him. It is not just knowing the scriptures, not just knowing what to do at certain times during the service. It is about knowing God on an intimate, uninhibited level. Now, I want to caution you because it's an eternal journey. You're not going to be able to know everything there is to know about God in the first 15 minutes. It is called being born again when we are saved. And so if you look at the birth stage or the stages of development, you go from being born to being a toddler to being an adolescent, to being a teenager, to being a young adult, to being an adult, to being a mature adult. That's the intended stages. And we will go through certain stages in our relationship with God. And so I encourage people, be on guard for spiritual adolescence in your own life, because people can get to the point where, just like a legitimate biological teenager, they get to the point where they think that they know everything. They know more than everybody else. They are right in their own eyes. We'll talk a little bit more probably next week about the judgment factor and how to make decisions and things like that. But they end up getting to the place where they are unteachable and reach a point of everything is contentious. Everything is contentious. And that's a dangerous place for a young person to be, whether it's young biologically or whether it is being young spiritually. There was a high profile minister that came out this past calendar year, in the past 12 months, and he said, when I look up on my past and I see the downfall of my life and what sent him into a very traumatic season, is he said, I got into ministry too young. He also said that he was pouring out more than he was taking in. And so he looked at that situation, and there was a tremendous amount of fruit that came about as a result of it. He was reaching huge numbers of people, was a very high-profile personality in conferences and things like that, and yet it got to a point where everything imploded upon him. Everything imploded and went through a very desperate season. The spirit of knowledge causes us to want to know God more. It's going to take God all of eternity to reveal the facet after facet after facet of his personality, of his nature. And you know, one of my favorite things about Moses, I mean, how would you like to encounter God in a burning bush experience? I mean, you start telling that story and you're going to have people wanting you to come and tell your story. Then he gets sent on assignment, and God uses him to help overthrow the most powerful army on the planet and liberate, you know, millions of people from slavery and oppression, and gets them on the journey back to their promised land, back to their inheritance, back to what they were always intended to possess. And on the way, God and Moses have an encounter, and Moses says, God, I want to see your glory, but I also want you to teach me your ways. That, I believe, is one of the most significant events in Moses' leadership. Was he said, God, teach me the way that you've done it. He was raised with all of the finest education and that Egypt had to offer, but he said, God, teach me your ways. As you're preparing to go into the weekend, are we going to rest upon our knowledge, or are we going to rest upon his knowledge? And begin again, it's a spiritual knowledge. It takes place in our spirit, and therefore it affects our mind. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and it is also the beginning of wisdom. In fact, it says here at Couples, it says the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. We've already talked about the fear of the Lord just a bit. It says his delight is in the fear of the Lord. God's not looking to drag you along kicking and screaming like a two-year-old throwing a temper tantrum. That's not the way he is looking to get you. He's looking to develop a spiritual maturity inside of us where we are relishing and enjoying the call that God has for us. It's been over 20 or, well, I guess this year marks 20 years since I've been in the shoe industry. See, I've been dealing with souls all my life. I know it's a corny joke, but it just had to come out today. It just did. You know, I could have told you about all the heels I've dealt with, but I'd much rather talk about souls. Sorry. Those are the type of jokes that my congregation deals with on a regular basis. But one night I was selling shoes in the mall, and there was a disturbance in the food court. There were a couple of groups of people, and they decided that it was a great time to create a disturbance, and they started fighting, and there was a large enough group that the mall that I was working in ended up calling the police, and the police sent out large numbers of officers to come in, and so all of the vendors, we had pulled our gates. I was still waiting on customers. I was waiting on customers with the gates closed. And I saw the police officers running, and there was probably, you know, eight to 10, maybe a dozen police officers running. And I couldn't tell you about all of them that I saw running towards the disturbance. It had moved on from the food court to another area. But I can tell you about this one guy. He was a large man. He was solid. Yeah, I'd seen him before. Very muscular, very fit. And you know, there he is on his way to this crisis situation. And he's going in there to make things back the way that they're supposed to be. And, you know, there's a great deal of uncertainty about that. You don't know if people are unarmed, if they're armed with a knife, if they're armed with a gun or whatever. But the reason that I remember this is because I saw the great big smile on that man's face. He was running towards the conflict. He was running towards the problem. And he had this big old grin. I saw nothing but teeth on that man's face as he was running that day. And it didn't take him very long to get that all under control and everything. But that's what I think of when I think about this, that Jesus' delight was in the fear of the Lord, that you and I, it should be a thrill for us to please our Savior and our Lord, that it is our delight to walk in awe of him. There are too many Christians that walk around as if being a Christian is the most miserable existence on the planet. And with that sort of mindset, it's no wonder that we see a minimal number of people wanting to embrace the Christian faith. It's almost like we say, don't you want to become a Christian so you can be just as miserable as I am? That's not the reality. The reality is it is delightful. It is a joy. It is a wonderful opportunity to walk in the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. Now, remember, this is a messianic prophecy. It's also talking about the way that Jesus would operate. Now, this truth I'm getting ready to share with you is going to blow some people's minds, because, you know, when I was growing up, the first scripture verse that you memorized was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There were some other verses that I ended up memorizing when I first started to go on a missions trip when I was 18 years old. And I remember those. Now, you know, if you're wanting to start with memorizing scripture, a real easy one is Jesus wept, shortest verse in the Bible. So if you're looking to get something easy or into your spirit, Jesus wept. That's when he was at Lazarus' tomb. So, but nowadays it is not so much for God so loved the world. Now the only scripture that people want to quote is in an attempt to justify their own sinfulness. They say, well, judge not lest you be judged. Judge not lest you be judged. As if there is no judgment. Now you need to understand that word judgment actually means condemn. It means that you're not supposed to go around condemning people. The reality is I don't need to condemn you. I'm not the judge. I'm not here. People ask, you know, all the time, well, what do you think about that court decision? What do you think about that court decision? And my answer is this: I don't think I was on that jury. Therefore, I haven't been exposed to all of the facts. And therefore, it is a moot point as to what my thinking about that situation is. And so I just want to encourage you. We don't have the ministry of condemnation. We have the ministry of reconciliation. But there is a reality of judgment. And this word means it tells us how God is going to judge people. There is a day of judgment that is approaching. If you are going into this weekend and you think, well, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do and there's not going to be any accountability for it, you would be mistaken. A Christian life is not an unaccountable life. It is an accountable life. We are going to have to give an account for every idle word that has come out of our mouth. We have to give an account for everything that we've done and the motives with which we've done them. Here's what it says. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Okay, so it tells us here that we're tempted to make judgments by what we see. The problem is that you and I, we can see things that are not in actuality there. A couple of weeks ago, I was working on a software problem that we were having, and I was dealing with the manufacturer. I mean, it was just a very drawn out process. They're based in Great Britain, and I couldn't get them on the phone. We were doing all of this by email, and the thing was that the information that they had typed in London, they typed in our church name, but they left out a letter. And when I read what they had typed, even though it was supposed to be, it was supposed to have, you know, the correct spelling. When I looked at it, I saw the correct spelling. It wasn't until I began to really scrutinize it and look at it and realize that my brain had put something in to the document that wasn't actually there. My perception was off. Now, their perception had probably been off too, because they probably thought that they typed it in the way that it had been originally. And so we, you know, an eyewitness is great, but there are also some problems with eyewitnesses. I don't know if you've ever watched this program on Netflix or on cable or satellite television called Brain Games, but it will talk about the tricks that your brain will play on your eyes. And so we think an eyewitness is great. God said Jesus isn't going to judge by the things that he sees. He's not going to use his personal filter. A lot of times we see things through our hurt, our pain, our perception, our opinion. And Jesus, it says here, Jesus isn't going to judge by what he sees. One of the other things that we make judgments by are what we hear. And so news media, talk shows, all of those sorts of things. I'm trying right now to help you to make a decision for God by the words that you hear coming across this way, not because of what I have to say, but because of what the Word of God has to say. And so it depends on the person that you listen to as to the decision you make if you use what you hear as the basis. And so there are a lot of places in society they will tell a lie over and over and over and over and over again until eventually people come to the place where they believe the lie. And it says that's not the way that Jesus is going to make judgments. He's not going to judge by what he sees. He's not going to judge by what he hears, but he's going to judge with righteousness. And here's what I mean by that. His judgment is not going to be biased because of who you are, what position you've had, what your bank account was, what status in society, how popular or how effective you were. His judgment is going to be upon the right standing relationship that you had with God. Did you accept Jesus? Did you love his words? Did you keep his commandments? I want you to know that keeping his commandments is still required. The scripture said in the Old Testament, the just shall live by faith. In the New Testament, it says the just shall live by faith. And in 2016, we are still called to live by faith. How are we doing when it comes to the righteousness that God has made available to us? And so I just finished reading here recently, once again, the book of Revelation, and it talked about that people, when they saw the judgments that God makes in the book of Revelation, that all heaven declares that his judgments are righteous and they are true and they are just. No one will ever accuse Jesus of being bribed or deceived. He knows. He doesn't have to trust his eyes. He's got perfect perception. He doesn't have to trust just what others tell him about the situation. He heard it for himself. And he even knew the intent with which we did it. There's a place where it said that a king came under judgment because the act he did it with great malice. Aren't you glad that you serve a righteous judge? You know, I'm not worried about what eternity holds for me because I know that God will never make a mistake. He won't make a mistake for you either. Have a great weekend. Come celebrate with us this weekend if you can. If not, we'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart.
don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on?